WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Big shout out to everyone. Happy New Year. We made it to another year here, and certainly Ravens fans struggling a little bit this week with Pittsburgh week around here. All of our WNST Crab Cake Tours presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to get back out on the road beginning next week at Nacho Mama's, and then onward and upward throughout the community, including a nice lengthy tour in August as well for our 30th anniversary. Luke, been watching this football team a long time, and seen a lot of things. We've seen a lot of sort of dire scenarios in week 16. Now we're into week 18, 17, whatever you want to call it. This would be the week where we were talking about playoffs and bus trips to places or bye weeks or even the draft if it's one of the bad years. Instead, we're talking about the 17th game, right? We had the Rams come through here. My wife's like, hey, we just played them 2 years ago. What's going on here? So I had to, say, well, that's the extra game, and that's, where we are. So people are paying attention. But for anyone this week, I know you're the mathologist around here. What are the chances that they really could make the playoffs this week besides 2%?
I was just going to say, not good, but they do have a chance. And yes, it is a product of, as you mentioned, the 17-game schedule. But what we saw introduced last year, which is a third wild card spot. And that's why the Ravens still do have a chance, albeit a very slim one. But they are in position where if they, of course, need to beat the Steelers, which, let's face it, isn't a given when you last won in late November, and you're talking about Ben Roethlisberger and what figures to be his last game.
A motivated Ben Roethlisberger, you would say.
Sure,
right?
Sure. I mean, a chance to put the final nail in the coffin for the Ravens. I mean, depending on how their final 2 weeks go, they have some kind of similar minute chance of making it, sneaking in. But a Ravens win, an Indianapolis loss at Jacksonville. No problem there, right? although several people have pointed out the Colts have not won in Jacksonville apparently since 2014, which is just hard to believe considering Indy's been pretty good over that time for the most part, and Jacksonville not so good, save for that one weird Blake Bortles year where they go to the AFC Championship. But an Indianapolis loss, a Chargers loss to Las Vegas on Sunday Night Football, and Miami losing to New England. And, oh, yeah, Cleveland losing once over these final two games that they have. So, look, other than Indianapolis losing in Jacksonville, I mean, that's the one of these different caveats that seems far-fetched because you're talking about a team that is trying to lock up the number one overall pick in the Jaguars. And, Indianapolis, unfortunate loss from their perspective to the Raiders on Sunday. But, for the most part, they've played pretty good football over the second half of the season. We know, how much of a problem they gave the Ravens early on, despite getting off to a rough start themselves. But I think it's just in its totality, Nestor, when you're talking about a 2% probability, you're really looking at, if you're flipping a coin, it needs to land on heads five or six times in a row. I mean, that's roughly, if you do the math, that's roughly what you're talking about there. It's not impossible, but it's really, really, really unlikely. And that's why, when you look at everyone talking about the playoff picture in the AFC this week, everyone's going to talk about the Colts. Everyone's going to talk about the Raiders and the Chargers. And the Ravens are still that team that's being mentioned as in the hunt, but only because they're not mathematically eliminated. So, no. I suppose, and one of my good friends from high school was actually joking about this early Monday morning. Maybe that'd be a fun parlay, to just put all those together, put a little money on it, and see what money you can win. And hey, if you win some money, the Ravens make the playoffs. But certainly not something you're counting on, and needing all of those things to fall the right way. Again, beginning with a Ravens team that hasn't won in over a month. It's certainly. It's not feeling good, not looking great. But to quote Lloyd Christmas in Dumb and Dumber, so you're saying there's a chance.
Well, you know, for my perspective, the weirdest part of sitting around on Sunday night, and I retweeted this, and Chris Pica from Blog and Tackle had a little fun with it as well, in regard to Joe Burrow and whether you can hate him or you can hate the Bengals. Look, we all got it in our DNA to hate the Steelers. The Browns, we all have a fan in our life. The Bengals have been pretty benign, even when Marvin was beating us up and Carson Palmer and, you know, then after that, Andy Dalton, and we lost some tough games right around this time of the year to the Bengals at various points. And I saw AJ Green making catches for the Cardinals the other day and thinking about him breaking our hearts as well. But the Bengals have been one of those teams where you almost feel sorry for them. It's the Brown family. They don't win in baseball. They lost in college football the other day, and after finally getting a chance to get in. The Bengals, as a potential one seed, as a potential AFC representative at the Super Bowl 5 or 6 weeks from now, but them beating the Chiefs, dude, that's the biggest win since I've had pubic hair. That's the biggest win since 1980 and Ken Anderson for the Bengals for me. I haven't seen them. They don't ever win a game like that. They don't ever beat the Chiefs and surge in late. Even when they beat us in late December, early January, it was by the skin of their teeth. I mean, I know they were behind, and I don't want to get too high on the Bengals train or whatever, but we're seeing something that we haven't seen before. This is an unusual sort of pairing and an unusual time, I think, where the Patriots down last week, come back, beat the snot out of the Jaguars. It's a good little tournament, even though it's a tournament we're not going to be in.
I feel it's a place the Bengals have been on the cusp of reaching. I mean, you think back to when Carson Palmer has his knee wrecked in their playoff game against the Steelers. You think back to Vontaze Burfict, you know, with his madness where they had it, you know, they had all but put away the Steelers, and, you know, he gets called for the, you know, the penalized hit, and, you know, they lose. You know, I mean, they just do that. And, you know, for them to win in the fashion in which they won, and Ja'Marr Chase just going absolutely nuts, cost me in my third place game in my fantasy football tournament, darn it.
You should have drafted Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, sure. But, I mean, you have to be impressed. And what's interesting, Nestor, and we touched on this a little bit earlier in the season even. I think you go back to Lamar Jackson's rookie year and remember that Week 17 game they had with Cleveland where, you know, C.J. Mosley picks off the ball. Yeah, the Browns weren't in playoff contention, but they had played well down the stretch. And I think there was a thought at that moment in time that, wow, you know, Ben Roethlisberger's just about at the end of the line. And you have the Ravens with this amazing young quarterback in Lamar Jackson. And you know, this Baker Mayfield kid looks decent for the Browns. And you're thinking, okay, it's going to be Ravens-Browns for the foreseeable future until Pittsburgh gets their quarterback of the future. Well, the Bengals have leapfrogged the Browns in that way. And Baker Mayfield doesn't look like the guy in Cleveland, but Joe Burrow sure looks like the guy in Cincinnati now. So, you know, it sets up and look, blowout loss aside, I think there's very much a sense moving forward in 2022 and beyond that, you know, for the time being, it's I think Ravens and Bengals, you know, kind of duking it out, assuming you're going to get a healthier version of the Ravens in 2022. But you know, with that quarterback, with that set of skill talent, with a defense that is better, although Sunday probably not the best example of that going up against the Chiefs offense, but we've seen that defense play much better than it had in recent years, including against the Ravens. You know, that's a team that has a lot to be excited about, and an organization that, as you know, has been cheap and their facilities have never been anything to, you know, they don't even have a facility really. Everyone's talked about their podium. That was just a TV cart. Yeah. That's been the big joke, you know, earlier in the season, but yeah, they've won some big football games and none bigger than what they've done the last couple weeks where I get it. The Ravens had a practice squad secondary and a number three quarterback. I understand that, but the Bengals still went out there and took care of business, and then they go out there and they beat Kansas City on Sunday. So you have to be impressed. I think, as is the case with any young team, there's always that sense of, okay, they did that. How do they handle that success now? Do they go into the playoffs and they're not satisfied with themselves and they win a couple games and maybe they're playing Kansas City in the AFC Championship? Who knows? Or is it a case of, you know, that inexperience, that youth, they fall victim to that, which has kind of been where they were at different points in the past when they have, fleeting as it's been, times where they've made the playoffs, where their inexperience shows up at a critical point. But boy, you know, that's impressive, especially you look at how the day plays out. They're trailing for a large portion of that game. Meanwhile, the Ravens are winning for a long portion of Sunday's game, and you're thinking, wow, Bengals lose, Ravens win. That's setting up for, you know, that still unlikely, but possible
scenario. It makes next week a lot more interesting than this week already, right?
Exactly. For the Bengals and for the Bengals, for the Ravens, for, you know,
maybe for the Steelers or the Browns, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So you have to be impressed. There's no question about that. I mean, the way Kansas City has played, as much as so many were eager to leave them for dead back in October, and I think anyone who really kind of understands and remembers how the NFL works said, hey, you know, they're not dead yet. Let's just be clear on that. And Kansas City's proven themselves since then. For the Bengals to do what they did on Sunday, you have to be impressed. There's no question about it. You know, I mean, there were some big wins across the league on Sunday, but none bigger than that kind of a statement based on, you know, Kansas City had been moved into the number one spot. And, you know, it's the Chiefs and it's the Bengals who, you know, haven't won a playoff game in, what, 30 years now, 30 plus years we're talking. So, you know, that was impressive. So, you know, it's certainly, you know, Tennessee now enters week 18 in that number one spot. And we'll see what happens there. I think you give the Titans credit. You know, as much as we've talked about injuries here in Baltimore, they've had a slew of injuries, you know, starting with Derrick Henry, and yet they've figured out a way to win games. And, you know, they've kind of done what the Ravens haven't been able to do down the stretch. And I get it. Schedules are different. And, you know, you can point to some different variables that might have been to their advantage compared to what Baltimore dealt with. But again, another team that has played a ton of guys, had a lot of injuries. You know, they missed AJ Brown. Julio Jones was their big offseason acquisition. You know, he hasn't been right all year. He was on the COVID list this week. So, you know, the Titans, you give them some credit as well, as they're sitting 11-5, and, you know, via tiebreakers right now, you know, they're sitting there with a chance to lock up the number one seed, which when Derrick Henry went down earlier in the season, no one would have thought that. So, you know, that's where you give them some credit as well. With the way they've handled their business.
Well, that's the AFC side of the tournament. Luke Jones joining us here. He'll be out in Owings Mills this week, courtesy of our friends at Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast, as we make our way into another year of coffee drinking and chicken eating. And I can't even believe there's a debate about Western fries. There was in Baltimore Magazine last month when I got together with Max. I went and got Western fries just to make sure there's no debate on Christmas Day. So I did do that, dip some ketchup and all that. Luke, for the NFC and for what maybe we thought about the Cowboys or the Cardinals. I mean, the league gets it right. They, you know, they schedule these Chiefs, Bengals, and Cardinals, Cowboys games without even realizing that Ravens, Rams might not be all that compelling at the end of all of this, or Steelers, Bengals, or Steelers, Browns, I should say. But the NFC side of this is also an interesting dance card in that, do you bet on Kyler Murray in the playoffs? Do you bet on Dak Prescott in the playoffs? Or do you say, I'll take my chances with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady? And don't even get me started on the Antonio Brown thing. That was its own little Christmas gift that keeps giving here in 2022, right?
No question. One thing I want to mention, since you brought it up as far as the TV window, and this is where I will criticize the league a little bit. They moved Ravens Rams from 4:25 to 1:00. Why? They wanted the Los Angeles and Baltimore / DC markets to watch that Cowboys Cardinals game in the late afternoon slot. But what that did in the process, and this is where I do take some issue with the league and looking at this, that made the Ravens-Rams game unavailable in southern Pennsylvania because they got the Eagles-Washington game, and large chunks of Maryland that got the Washington-Eagles game in that early window because, of course, the Ravens played on Fox with the Rams being the visiting team. So that's where I think the league, I understand what you're doing in the late afternoon slot as far as wanting those big markets, but at the same time, you really did screw over a lot of local fans from being able to watch that game. Now, that aside, I wanted to fit that in there since you mentioned that.
As a Southern Pennsylvania resident, almost a native, I would call you.
Of course. Yeah, right. So, but that said, I mean, you do look at, you know, that Dallas-Arizona game. I mean, and Dallas, of course, made a comeback. But, you know, those are two teams right now that, look, they're 11-5, and I cover an 8-8 Ravens team. So let's be clear about that. Do you really trust either of those teams right now? I don't. I've seen Dallas.
Not in a big game against Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, right? Or in Tampa against Tom Brady.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, Dallas looks really good at times, and then other times, not impressive. I mean, they lose Michael Gallup to an ACL on that touchdown catch. You feel for him. And Arizona, as much as I was really feeling the Cardinals early on, you know, they're that team that's kind of, you know, I know they won on Sunday, but you kind of consider where they were at a time when we were kind of thinking about the Ravens when they were 8-3, and things have really gone south for them. It's just that they had done so much work that, you know, they've been able to weather it, that they're still going to, you know, they're still in the playoffs. But, you know, you look at those two teams, but I come back to, as you just mentioned, you know, Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you really think about the work they've done. Think back to that week one game where they were just boat race. They were embarrassed. They looked awful. I mean, not just losing week one, they looked terrible. And that was on the heels of, you know, all the uncertainty with Rodgers in the offseason and trade talk and, you know, whether he's on the same page with management, whether he's on the same page with the coaching staff. You know, going all the way back to when they drafted Jordan Love the previous year. And what Green Bay's done since then, really impressive. Do I think they're invincible in January? No. But, hey, they're at the top of the, you know, they've got home field. You know, they're that team that has deserved to be the number one seed. And, you know, Tampa Bay, I mean, it was hilarious. You're sitting in the press box. You're on your laptop. You're monitoring other tweets. You're taking a look at scores, especially considering where the Ravens have been, needing to scoreboard watch, with the position that they were in going into week 17. But you just hear all these people start, you see all these people tweeting about Antonio Brown. And it's just like, wait, what's going on? I had honestly forgotten.
What did he do now, right? Literally.
I had forgotten that they were still, that they were playing. Like, to me, it almost felt like something he had done during warmups. And I'm like, wait a second. That's in the middle of the game. What is going on here? And look, Tampa Bay got exactly what they deserved. And the Buccaneers would say, you know what? He helped us win a Super Bowl last year. Now, we can talk about the character, the morality of that, and considering things he's done in his past, off the field, legal issues. I mean, this year with faking your vaccine card, I mean, you always knew this thing was going to end badly at some point. And it was probably going to be very bizarre based on what we saw in Pittsburgh, based on what we saw with the Raiders. I mean, you forget this guy was a Raider for a minute and how he exited there, how things fell apart for him in New England, you know, with allegations that came out and they caught him. So you knew it was going to be weird. You knew it was going to end at some point. And I mean, you know, I think the big thing is, you know, you're the Buccaneers. They can just brush it off, I suppose. I mean, again, he helped them win a Super Bowl last year, so they got what they wanted out of it, whether it was right or wrong, you know, whether they should have signed him or not, whether anyone should sign him or at this point. And this is a guy, an individual who clearly needs help. I think he's got some severe mental problems. I think that was evident going back to Pittsburgh. And I know one thing you and I've talked about, you know, whether it's just you and me talking or talking to people at Super Bowls, it's amazing that Mike Tomlin managed that situation as long as he did and as effectively as he did until the very end when it became untenable. So, you know, Tampa Bay.
I hope he's not giving Hollywood advice or any of the guys, right?
No question. And this is where we go back to how laughable it was that people were serious about wanting the Ravens to sign this guy. I mean, this guy, he's unstable. And okay, again, Tampa Bay won last year, so maybe there is a very limited shelf life that you can make it work for a period of time. But he very much showed his true colors on Sunday and embarrassed himself, embarrassed the organization. You know, he's no longer a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. And, you know, that's a team that has lost Chris Godwin. They've had some other injuries. So, you know, I mean, I assume they'll be okay. You know, they came back and won on Sunday. And
I'm okay if they're not okay. I'm okay if they don't win the Super Bowl. How about that?
Oh, yeah. I'm not a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan either way. But, you know, they're 12-4. They're in. You know, they've clinched. So we'll see what they look like. I mean, the Chris Godwin injury certainly hurt them a couple weeks ago in terms of their long-term upside. And, you know, he fit, a healthy Antonio Brown figured to help their upside come January. But, no, that's not the case, and he's no longer a Buck, and we'll see if he gets his next second chance. You know, you would hope at some point in time teams wise up, and you would hope he would wise up, and people that care about him would say, "Dude, you need to get some help. This is not normal behavior. I mean, it's just not." And you know, I mean, Tom Brady, I know,
especially when you could be a $10 million a year employee in our society, right?
Yeah. Well, and I mean,
for catching footballs.
Think about this. This guy has had arguably the greatest quarterback in NFL history be an advocate for him in two different locations now, New England a couple years back, and now in Tampa Bay. And he still has squandered it. I mean, if you have Tom Brady going to bat for you, and even and Brady still expressed empathy after Sunday's game, and yet you still can't take advantage of that. You still haven't managed to just not screw it up, right? So, I mean, I have no sympathy for him whatsoever. I have no sympathy for the Buccaneers whatsoever. They got exactly what they deserved, and we said that going back to the last couple off seasons when there'd been chatter amongst fans and media about Antonio Brown and the Ravens and Marquise Brown and Lamar Jackson lobbying for it. So, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, a guy like him's not going to change his true colors at this point unless he tries to do something about it in terms of bettering himself, in terms of getting some help for what seems to be, and look, I'm not a psychology major or anything like that, but a guy who, let's just say, seems a little unstable. Am I out of bounds speaking with that description? I don't think so. So just crazy. Absolutely crazy, but
almost as crazy as the Eagles having a chance to make the playoffs, right? Like,
well, they clinched late Sunday night. I mean, talk about a team that, and as you know, I mean, I have family members who are Eagles fans. So I see a good number of their games in Southern York County.
This is also a product of letting other teams in too, right? This is a product of the tournament expanding, right?
Well, there's that, but the thing that's impressive about them is with a new coaching staff with Nick Sirianni. I mean, they were clearly trying to do something that they weren't early in the season. And I like Jalen Hurts. That doesn't mean I am convinced he's going to be a long-term great franchise quarterback in this league, but there are things about him I really like. Even going back to his college days and how he handled himself at Alabama when Tua supplanted him as the starter. But they were trying to be a pass-first, pass-heavy kind of team, and that just wasn't working for them. So about halfway through the season, in a way that it wasn't terribly different, although there was no quarterback change, but you kind of think about how the Ravens went from Flacco to Lamar Jackson. They went from pass-heavy to very run-heavy, just like that. Well, the Eagles kind of just did that with the same quarterback, and they said, we're going to run, and you know, we're going to use Miles Sanders and Boston Scott and Jordan Howard, and we're going to use Jalen Hurts a lot because he's very mobile. And they've become a very formidable rushing attack that has won games. Look, they're 9-7. Do I think they're going to have a long stay in the playoffs? Of course not. But you give them some credit, and they're the kind of team that, you know, you go up against one of those opponents in January that has a leaky run defense. You know, could they steal a playoff win? Sure, they could steal one. But yeah, I mean, you have to be impressed with what they've been able to do in terms of adjusting their identity when it clearly wasn't working for them earlier in the season. And you know, I think you, like I said, 9-7, and as you mentioned, you know, the 7 seed, and you know, we can talk about. I mean, I didn't like playoff expansion when they introduced it a couple years ago because I knew this was going to happen. You're going to be talking about 8-8 football teams like the Ravens still having a chance going into Week 18, but hey, the NFL wants that. Yeah, you know, they want more and more teams having a mathematical chance. They're okay with a 9-8 or an 8-9.
And they also want Justin Herbert playing as a 7 seed or Jalen Hurts as a 7 seed, sure, playing one more game on television next week to move the star power along, to give him 2 more games next weekend. I'd rather be playing next weekend than not. I mean, even if you felt like you didn't have a chance to win, and it's certainly around here, the 8-8 team we have now, they are what the record says they are. Whether they would have a chance to go to Cincinnati or Buffalo or Kansas City and win a game, I'd love to have that opportunity. And you and I next weekend will be sitting here twiddling our thumbs watching them play.
Yeah. And to be very clear, I'll watch it. I mean, you know, we joke about the watered down product. I mean, you and I, first day we're at the Super Bowl every year, what are we talking about? How terrible the Pro Bowl was. And then you see what the ratings are and people watch it. Now, it's not the same number of people as the regular season or the playoffs, but people are still watching it. It still does better ratings wise than any top 5 college basketball game they have on that Sunday or anything like that. So people will watch it. And yeah, I don't like expanding the playoffs. I think it should be something that has some exclusivity. It should reward being really good rather than including more and more watered down teams. I mean, we've talked about that with the NHL and the NBA for years and years and years. But know, hey, there's more money. They can do a triple header. They're going to have a Monday night wild card game, which, you know, the competitive aspect of that is just kind of unbelievable to me to think about. You know, talking about a Monday night team advancing and playing on a short week then, but hey, it's money. And look, the players like that money too. Let's be very clear about that. So, but yeah, it leads to, as you mentioned, you get a chance to potentially see a Justin Herbert when you wouldn't see him, or you see a Jalen Hurts when you otherwise wouldn't see him. So go watch it. I'll watch it. And, you know, as you mentioned, we'll certainly be watching, but, you know, barring a miracle here in week 18, certainly you know, not looking like the Ravens are going to be included in that field.
He is Baltimore Luke, and Luke Jones out on the social media things, Twitter, Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn, Instagram, all those places. We'll be bringing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out next week at Nacho Mama's. Once we clear the snow away around here this week, we're going to get some chips and a delicious quesadilla as well as crab cake. Crab Cake Tour presented, of course, by the Maryland Lottery. We'll let ourselves play beginning next week. Big appreciation to all of our annual sponsors along with us, our Wise Conversations. I'm wearing my Coons Ford shirt. Dennis will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, and again on Sunday morning before the game. We're pretty easy to find around here doing lots of stuff, including a fresh recon to begin 2022 with my partner Don Moeller. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.